when it comes to conversations about hospital capacity, most people never really think about it too often, but obviously these are unusual times. State leadership is telling us this is a key metric when we look at how we're dealing with COVID. So walk us through, when we're talking about hospital capacity, what all is included in that conversation?
Sure. So hospital capacity, there's really not one thing that defines our capacity to your question. It's really what it's defined by, and it's defined by, of course, physical space, staff to properly and safely care for patients, and then equipment as well. And so in general, those three areas are really what come together and what we watch closely to determine our capacity at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain, I've gotten questions about our NICU beds being counted in the state's overall ICU capacity. Is that something you can comment on?
I have no idea on that one. That would really have to come from any state source. I do not know how the state counts those beds.
Okay, can you distinguish for us kind of the long-term care beds in Sanford versus ICU versus acute? People are asking me a lot of those kind of like detailed questions about how much availability we have in different sectors of care, if that makes sense.
Sure. So we have the acute hospital, which includes adult care, pediatric care, labor and delivery, newborn infant. That's all part of the hospital. And in there are intensive care unit beds in addition to what we call general medical beds. And we really don't have much for, we really don't have long-term care. We have a rehab floor, but we don't have anything else from a long-term care standpoint in this facility.
Do we have an idea when it comes to COVID-19 patients so far? Do we have an idea about an average length of stay for those patients between critical and non-critical COVID patients, or is it too soon to tell some of that information?
Yeah, so there's obviously quite a difference. And so if you average them together, it's an average. But if patients are in a general medical area with COVID, their length of stay can be 1 to 2 days, and some, of course, can be a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those folks we've grown very, very familiar now working with this illness to really be able to tell when patients may need more acute care or intensive care unit care versus being able to safely transition to home. Mm-hmm. And the intensive care unit, the early statistics back in the spring were around, if you're in the intensive care unit, it could be around on average about an 8-day stay. We're seeing more in the kind of 5 to 6 day for an intensive care unit stay.
Hmm. I know a few months ago, the governor's back to normal plan, one of the recommendations there was for hospitals to reserve 30% of their beds for COVID patients as part of a preparation for a surge. Has Sanford met that?
As far as I know, we have complied with everything from city, state, and federal regulation, yes.
Yeah. Some of the social media buzz I'm seeing, can you talk about whether or not it's true that adult patients are being sent to the children's hospital as part of accommodating the higher rates that we're seeing?
So as I alluded to earlier, that's all part of Sanford Hospital, and it's physically connected, and that's part of our surge plan. While we are not caring for COVID patients at this time in the children's hospital, specifically adult COVID patients in the children's hospital, there will be times, as that is part of Sanford Hospital, where we will care for adult patients in the children's hospital.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is an unusual year, but I wonder if you can talk about just how unusual, I guess, how frequently do you find yourselves in a situation where you have to defer adult patients to the children's hospital or potentially from Sioux Falls to a smaller facility outside of Sioux Falls?
So two questions there, really. We always have surge preparation, whether it's related to a pandemic or an event or just times of high need. And we find that every year, starting about this time of year, there tends to be some higher need. Summer's over, people aren't vacationing, and prior to the holidays, they'll maybe seek us for some care. And then it just, you know, as things happen, unfortunately, people can kind of get ill this time of year as well. This year is obviously a little different because we're in the setting of a pandemic, and everyone wants to focus on that, but that is actually really the vast minority of patients are seeking care from a pandemic standpoint. It's really those other care needs that we're seeing at this time. And we're working well within our surge plan where most years at times, whether it's influenza or just general needs, we will have patients over in the children's area. And there's times when there's children in the adult area. I mean, it's all part of the hospital. In terms of our network facilities, we've had great support of our network facilities and our network facilities supporting us. We prioritize care, and we try to make sure that the care is delivered as safely and best as close to home as possible. We're well connected with our network facilities, both from a video and telephone standpoint, and can be in real time conversations as expertise is needed. As patient acuity necessitates, we will have patients come to Sioux Falls, and that's part of our plan as well. So right now we're really prioritizing patients to the proper areas, and again, really focused on it, caring for patients as close to home as possible. We feel that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. Seeing conversations on social media, people saying they work at, you know, all three of the major health systems throughout the state, a common theme seems to be concern about staffing capacity. I'm seeing people saying that we're already kind of at our limit when it comes to people being able to care for the folks that are here, and being concerned about if numbers rise even more. Can you talk about staffing?
Yeah, just speaking from Sanford's perspective regarding staffing, we have sincerely appreciated the hard work of all of our staff. Staff traditionally within Sanford have risen up in times of need, and that's the case again. Staff, along with myself, along with all of us, you know, we can get tired, but at the same time, we're very dedicated to the patients that come to our facility. And we, throughout all of COVID, when there was certainly, you know, staffing issues that needed to be addressed those, and we are very proud and very proud of our staff. And we tried to, or we did keep our staff intact in addition to supporting them financially. And we're going to continue to do that because our staff is what provides that great care for patients.
Mm-hmm. So would you say you have adequate staff right now to handle a potential surge?
We have adequate staff in this time of surge. And we're always working to increase that capacity because we feel the care is best delivered as close to home as possible.
Mm-hmm. Have you had to take advantage of any assistance from the National Guard as far as staffing or any other services, or what might trigger requesting that assistance?
That would be close conversation that we have with our state and city resources, which we're in contact with. A lot of our staff very proudly serves in the National Guard, and as an employer, we're very supportive of that and work very closely with the National Guard. We have not had conversations. We did, obviously, as part of our surge plan this spring, but we have not had conversations with National Guard, and they've been great partners to work with in the past.
Mm-hmm. Does Sanford have any plans to release specific census or capacity numbers as it relates to the Sioux Falls facilities?
We do not. In compliance with federal regulation, I would have you work with our media team in regard to anything along those lines, but we typically do not release specific numbers. Frankly, it's numbers that change very rapidly on a daily basis. So, you know, frankly, anything that we would give you would be inaccurate by the time of publication or anything like that anyway.
Mm-hmm. For folks who are seeing how the governor is pointing to hospital capacity as a key indicator for this, Mayor Ten Haken also doing that. Can you talk about maybe why that capacity, even if on a changeable day-to-day basis, wouldn't be useful information for the public?
I would look at it this way. We have had great relationships and work closely with our city and state resources on a daily basis, really monitoring that capacity, because it helps to guide them if there's any sort of, you know, regulation changes, et cetera. We have said we're doing okay and continue to progress as we have. As we learned from earlier this year, there's, you know, the direct effects of COVID, but then there's really the indirect effects if we are in a situation where people are having to delay care or not feeling comfortable seeking their care. We've seen episodes of, you know, delayed care, delayed diagnoses because people just would not seek care, and that can lead to very challenging personal situations for patients. We've also seen a rise in mental health concerns, which we feel is really indirectly related to this COVID illness. And so as we try to progress forward in the time of pandemic, we want to be very thoughtful of those who are really struggling indirectly from COVID at this time.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about some other details of the surge capacity planning? Is that adding beds? Is that what does that look like?
Yeah, so our surge capacity, as I looked at those three areas, you know, it's space. We have space, and we did prioritize more space early on in the times of COVID. So we invested in more patient rooms, and those are about to come online. We also invested in more staff as they are available. And, of course, that's not an infinite supply, but we have great people who are graduating from great programs, and we've been able to retain a lot of those folks in this area, and they're coming online as well. And we're really making investments in not only our people, but our facilities to try to meet that surge plan, irregardless of what is causing the surge on a daily, monthly, annual basis. And we're doing that again.
Mm-hmm. If folks are concerned by what they're hearing on social media, things like this, what would you tell audiences listening to this about the situation as far as Sanford is concerned?
Yeah, you know, as I alluded to earlier, we're in a time where there's a lot of people seeking high needs, there's a lot of people seeking care at this time, mostly not related to COVID, although there are some indirectly related to COVID. Have a conversation with your care team, with your physician. And in times like this, people do, you know, tend to maybe reach out to social media and make some comments, and that's fine. You know, you need your release, and that's okay. But we would like to hopefully have people realize and be comfortable with the fact that there's a lot of folks working really hard to meet patients' needs as close to as home to possible. We're going to continue to do that. We're accustomed to working in times of high patient needs, and we're in one of those times right now, and we're going to continue working hard for the people of this area.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I wonder how much you can tell me about transferring folks out of state, what goes into that decision, and when people hear that the Secretary of Health saying we have plenty of capacity in state, they get a little confused by hearing their neighbors talking about a relative having to be sent out of state. What would you have to tell people about that?
Well, there's in the setting of COVID, we're really trying to keep people in state as close to home as possible, and that's what we've done. There are times where there's large healthcare facilities, well-resourced, offering additional services that we may not offer at Sanford. And that occurs in times of pandemic and not in times of pandemic. So if patients come to us with certain needs and we feel that their care would be better served elsewhere, we work closely with facilities in larger cities around this area, and we will transfer patients. We'll receive patients from some of those facilities as well, and have worked closely with, you know, Omaha and Mayo and Minneapolis and Denver and Michigan. And so if patients are being transferred out of state, it's because caregivers are having a conversation with those people saying that we need some expertise that's available at one of those outlying facilities, and we're going to transfer. And so as people maybe hear those conversations, they may not have the entire context of the conversation, and that's everyone's right to privacy to hold those issues within their family. That's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. So has Sanford had to divert COVID patients out of state?
Not that I'm aware of. We would prioritize getting those folks taken care of as close to home as possible.
Right. And finally, I saw late last week some health facilities in Iowa talking about they would typically send patients up to Sioux Falls and Sioux Falls not being able to accept them at this time. Is that something you can comment on? Has that changed since Friday?
So my conversation around that would really be about the prioritization of care and the need that they sought at that local facility. And there may have been an ask to, you know, just wait a little bit, and they're comfortable providing that care. And then if it makes sense to that patient needing higher acuity in Sioux Falls, we would have them come to Sioux Falls. And so situations like that may develop where we have a conversation with a referring facility in that moment to take care of that patient where it most makes sense. If there's a little bit of delay, it's not in the setting of patient safety, but it's rather just, hey, we need a little time to, you know, get some rooms ready and things like that, and make it as comfortable for people that are coming to Sioux Falls as possible.
Dr. Wilde, you've been super generous with your time, and this has been really informational. Is there anything else you want to close with, want to make sure that you add or emphasize?
Well, just really emphasizing that people should feel comfortable seeking care at this time. There's a lot of needs out there. We see a lot of those indirect effects, like I alluded to, from COVID, not necessarily people with the illness, but effects because this pandemic is upon us, and they should feel comfortable seeking care during this time. We are really prioritizing our staff safety and facility safety, and would welcome those that feel the need to seek care at this time.
Dr. Wilde, thanks so much. That's all I've got for you right now.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.